हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. When Guru Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world a mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet. Jai Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada ki. Prabhupada has given a very powerful purport on this very important verse. And this verse and the verse before this and the verse after this, they all run along the same theme. And the basic theme is that the moment a devotee or a living entity cannot accept the supremacy of Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead, then whatever efforts that he may make, they will become completely baffled or they become completely frustrated. And such persons, they are always deluded. Krishna says here that when one becomes baffled, there are two words which are important in this verse. One is moghasa. And you find that the word moghasa or mogha is actually used 3 times in this verse. The emphasis is there. One, we may have so many hopes in our material life. We may hope to do this, we may hope to do that. We have hope for our future, our family's future. And all the time we live in hope for so many things. But here Krishna writes here that until and unless they are actually coming to the platform of accepting Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead, their hope will be defeated. The second point is we are all performing the activities in this material world. Nobody can escape activities. Everyone has to be active. Nature of the soul is to be active. But if all our activities and all the fruits that we want to get from the activity are only towards our own self-enjoyment, then that attitude is considered demonic. That attitude is considered atheistic. And in that attitude, even all our attempts to get fruits, to extract fruits out of these activities, will also be baffled, also be frustrated. Then, another baffling area is knowledge. We may study so much in this material world, but until we get the correct culture of knowledge that Krishna is Ishvara Paramakrishnaha, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Adagir Agir Govinda, Sarvakarana Karana. Until and unless we accept and live on that principled verse that Brahmaji speaks at the beginning of our Brahma Sanita prayer, that Krishna is Supreme, that He is the cause of all causes, that He is the original, inexhaustible personality of Godhead. Until we truly accept Krishna in our heart, then Prabhupada translates and gives us the purport that we will always be baffled. We will be frustrated in all attempts. So knowledge will have no value, activities will not bear proper fruit, and hopes will be dashed. And on top of that, there is another word that's important here. In the lectures to this verse, Prabhupada emphasizes on the word vichetasaha. Vichetasaha means that which is bewildering. It is a very important point here. And this point, bewildered, is also used in the word mohinim. Mohinim means like entrancement, you know? When someone believes that he is doing correct and he is doing everything right, but he doesn't realize that he's under the sway of entrancement. And like magic, he becomes completely bewildered and doesn't realize that he's not going on the proper path. So happiness eludes him. Through his activities he cannot get anything from, and all hopes in this material world are dashed. And then the result of that is that he becomes mohinim and he becomes vichetasaha. So when you become bewildered, nothing looks very nice for you. When you become backward or when you become confused, then the world becomes a very difficult place to live in, is it not? How many times in our lives we have become frustrated? We have worked so hard. Prabhupada writes in his lectures that people work so hard in this material world. They work for some kind of profit always. They work because they have some hope. But they don't realize that until and unless they accept Krishna as Supreme, they will always be frustrated. The key here that Prabhupada is trying to tell us is that even if we are devotees of the Lord, don't speak about the demons and the agents. Prabhupada starts the purport by saying there are many devotees who assume themselves to be Krishna conscious. But actually speaking, if in their hearts they don't accept the supremacy of Krishna, then they are understood to be also engaged in the demonic and atheistic views. So we may look like we are wearing dhoti, kurta, tilak, we may be chanting. But actually speaking, when the difficulties of life come, when we find that we cannot see the hand of Krishna in everything, then automatically we become baffled. Because frankly speaking, it's one thing to say, oh, I accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it is another thing, completely different, to accept Him on a practical basis. Theoretically we may accept Krishna, but practically speaking it is very difficult. So, we must understand even as devotees, all of us are devotees, that's why we are here today. We may sometimes say, no, this verse actually belongs to those who are demons and atheists. But Prabhupada qualifies it very nicely by saying that even if you accept that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, but you don't live by it, then all whatever hopes of getting the taste of bhakti, which is love for Godhead, would defeat you. The reason in this material world why we become bankrupt and bewildered is because we don't get taste for Krishna consciousness. It is practical in our life. We may chant so much, but until and unless we really accept Krishna, you find the chanting has no taste. Until and unless our culture of knowledge is properly situated in Krishna, you will find again that you cannot have any taste for Krishna. Sometimes devotees come to Krishna with all kinds of motives, but here Prabhupada makes it very clear. Even if you want to liberate yourself from the material cycle of birth and death, it is to be understood that if you do not accept Krishna as Supreme, that endeavor also does not bear the real fruit of bhakti. The real fruit of bhakti is love for Godhead. Krishna can give you anything and everything in this material world, but please remember one thing, the nature of the material world is such that anything you receive in this material world, except for bhakti, will in the end make you frustrated. No one can escape that point. You know that story of that potter that Prabhupada normally brought up? This potter made one pot, isn't it? One clay pot. And after he made one clay pot, he left it there and he thought, now I have one clay pot. So he started dreaming. He started hoping. He started expecting a fruitive result from that one activity. What do you think? He thought that if I get this one pot, I will go and sell this pot in the market. With some money from there, I will make another pot. I will sell it at another price. With more money, I will make 10 pots, 20 pots, 100 pots. Like that, I will make so many pots that I will make so much money. And after I make so much money from a small urn where I was making my pot, I will make a big factory. And in the factory, what will I do? I will make big pots and I will become a big manager. Then after becoming a big man, I will get married. And after getting married, I will become richer. And after becoming richer, one day, if no one listens to me because I am very powerful, like my wife, what will I do? I will give her a kick if she doesn't listen to me. And in that hope and dream, he kicked the only pot that he had. And when he kicked that only pot that he had, it broke. And he had no materials and no money to make another pot. This is the nature of Mohagrasa. This is the nature of Vichesa Saha. We become bewildered. Just little bit we have in this material world, and we think that it is going to last forever. But we all know that, frankly speaking, we have come here with nothing. Did anyone come into this world wearing dhoti, kurta, pants, jeans, t-shirts? No one. You all came with nothing except your own skin. And the truth is, you will leave without anything but your own skin. In fact, skin also will leave you when you die. Your own body you cannot take with you. So this point we must understand very importantly, that we become frustrated. Prabhupada wrote in his lecture, always the demons, they are thinking something better, more bank balance, more riches, more money, hoping to be happy at some point, but that happiness never comes. Why? Because as Prabhupada writes in the purport, with false conviction, we actually think that we know better than Krishna, we actually think without Krishna, we can actually be happy. But the truth of the matter is, if Krishna is the source of all sources, then should he not be the source of all happiness also? Logically speaking, you cannot refute that even if you don't want to accept Krishna. But if you accept sarva karana karanam, then you must accept the fact that even logically, Krishna is the source of all happiness also. So how can we be happy without trying to please Krishna? How can we be happy without prioritizing in such a way that Krishna is the start of everything? Krishna is the most important thing. If we don't have that, we become very frustrated. You know, there was one story in Bhagavatam, 11th canto. There is this high society lady. She was always trying to please her clients. Her name was Pingala. So Pingala in 11th canto was always praying very hard that she would always be able to satisfy the men. She was very beautiful and she looked very attractive. And for years, so many men were coming to her for enjoyment. But after a while, like everything else in life, she became frustrated. Because how long can men enjoy something? It is in our nature only to enjoy something for a while. And then you find you grow tired of it and you go to another thing. It is our nature. Without Krishna, we will just move from one point to another. Because we are never satisfied with something. Never satisfied with something. So like that, after a while, this lady, Pingala, she also grew very old. And as she grew older, she lost her bodily attraction to the men. The men did not find her attractive anymore. So what happened was, after a while, when they did not find her very attractive, they decided to go elsewhere to seek their material pleasure. And when they did that, this Pingala, who all the time was thinking that she was the source of happiness for others, she began to sit down by the doorway of her house. And she stood up for a while, and she leaned against the doorway, Bhagavatam says, and she was thinking, now what have I done with my life? All these years, I have tried so hard to please everyone in the hope that I will get some happiness. And then she thinks very nicely, this verse is in 11th canto, 8th chapter, 31st verse. We should remember this verse whenever we become frustrated with life. Shantam samitve ramanam rati pranam vitapradam nityam imamihayaha akhamadam dukkhamayadi sukham mohapradam tuchyamaham bhaje anyaha. It's a very important verse. Pingala says nicely, I have been such a fool that for so long I have given up the company of one who is actually my well-wisher. One who is actually genuinely attractive, Rati Pradam. And that person is actually Krishna. He was the person whom I should have tried to lead my life to. He was the person that I should try to please. Instead, I tried to please everyone and anyone except Krishna. And by doing so, I gave my heart away to these people. But throughout all that, Krishna was my real well-wisher. He never has left me. But what have I done all these years? Akamadam, Vayadi Sukha. In all these years, I have uselessly tried to serve men. And in trying to serve them, I have tried to satisfy them. But I have realized that I cannot satisfy them. Because it is not in their nature to be satisfied. And because Krishna is not there, then nothing can be satisfactory. And instead, what have I got in return from these useless attempts? I have got akama. I have not been satisfied with my desires. I have got sokha, lamentation. I have got moha, illusion. And therefore finally, I have become distressed. So this is baffling. This is bewilderment. When we try to uselessly try and do any endeavor without Krishna, then this verse tells us, we will definitely become baffled and frustrated. We will not be able to move anywhere. So this point is very important for us to understand. And what is the solution then? The solution, Prabhupada says very nicely here, is do not mock Krishna. Do not jeer Krishna. The moment we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it means automatically that you must accept what Krishna wants. It does not mean I do something and then Krishna must fit it into my spiritual life. It should not be that way. And it should not be that, oh, I want something, therefore Krishna must supply that to me. Then who is supreme? Is it us or is it Krishna? This question will need to be asked. So we must not always forget that, frankly speaking, without the mercy of the Lord, we will be baffled and we will be bewildered. Balasya deham sharanam pitaravlasikha nasasya chagatam udarvati mujato namuhu saptasya sat pativiriya ihajasekar tavat vibot anubhisaam dvatupeshitanam. One of the very important verses that Prabhupada always quoted to explain the bewilderment of the living entity. It is found in 7.9.19 of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Rasa Maharaj prays very nicely that, O Lord, what upekshitanam, without the mercy of Krishna, that means without Krishna's mercy, without us obeying the Lord, Supreme Lord Krishna, whatever activities that we take up, they will become frustrated. Whatever solutions we try and find to the material problems of the world, we will also become frustrated. And we will be frustrated like three examples Prahlad Maharaj gives us. First, the frustration that a parent feels when his child is sick and he cannot do anything about it. Have parents felt that way before? Have you all felt frustrated when a child is sick? You try and give so much, whatever you can, but you find that you cannot help the child. Only the child is going through its own suffering. You cannot take the child's suffering with it. You can't. You become frustrated. Second point that is very important. The physicians try to treat, they try very hard to treat the person who is sick, the patient. But what happens very often? You find that no matter how much the patient tries to treat the patient, if the patient is not going to recover and going to die, there is nothing in this world that the physician can do to save a dying man. No one can do that. There is frustration also. And the last point is very nice. Prahlad Maharaj says, of what use is a boat in water for a drowning man? A boat in water, in the ocean, cannot save a drowning man. For the simple reason that he can't swim to the boat. He can't swim to the boat. He may look at the boat, but he can't swim to the boat. So what is the point? There again, there is frustration. So the end result of not coming under the mercy of Krishna is that our activities, our hopes, and whatever knowledge we have, they come to no point. It is useless. And we become bewildered. Krishna, Bhishma Dev advised Yudhishthira in the first chapter, 9th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know one thing first. Nahi asya kamichit rajan. Veda Puma Vidikshitam. Yat Icha Chaya Yuktaha. Yuktaha means engaged. Muyanti Kamayogi. He said that all the great philosophers of this world, for thousands and thousands of years, they are engaged in trying to find out the limit of Krishna. They are trying to find out what is the plan of Krishna. But then Vishwadev tells Vishwara, no one can know Krishna's plan. You please accept it. The moment we accept that no one can know Krishna's plan, then we have really accepted Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. This point is a very important point for us to realize. Not that, oh Krishna, you're supreme. Then suddenly something happens in our life. Why did this happen to me? Why am I frustrated? Why am I baffled? Why am I feeling this? This means that we are demonic. This is the reason why we are bewildered. Because we have not really accepted Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you accept Krishna, you will accept that He is unlimited. You will accept that He cannot be understood except by His own mercy. Nahi asya kamichit rajan. No one can know the plan of Krishna. So if no one can know the plan of Krishna, then what should the devotee do to become a devotee of the Lord? The next point is given very nicely by Bhishma Dev also. He says, Tasmat idam daivam tantram. Javasya Bharata Vishabha. He says, you please know, it is my opinion that all that is happening in this world is nothing but the enchantment of the Providence. How nicely Prabhupada translates this word. Daivam Tantra. It means enchantment of Providence. Krishna is like an enchanter, Mohini. If he wants, he can bewilder anyone. If he wants, he can give someone the full culture of knowledge. But it is up to him. So he said to Yudhishthira Maharaj, don't feel sad that millions of people died in the Mahabharata war. Don't think that you were the one who caused them to die. Frankly speaking, it was the Lord who decided that. That's why Vishwadev is Mahajan. he could understand the simple plan of Krishna, and therefore he could accept that Krishna was supreme. So by saying that, he said, what must we do then? Satya, anubhihitaha, anataha. He said, because we know that all this is the plan of Krishna, then do one thing. Become helpless before him. Move according to his desire. See the point? When one doesn't want to move according to the desire of Krishna, he's Rakshasa, he's Asura. But when one becomes helpless before the Lord and says, Lord, whatever you want, I accept, then he is the real devotee of the Lord. For him, love of Godhead comes very fast. Tatshana, this culture of knowledge, comes without delay. If he does not want to accept Krishna in a practical manner, then he will not be able to see Krishna in everything. He will only become sentimental and deluded. And this applies, Prabhu and Mataji, to us as devotees. We must be very careful. We may say that we are devotees of the Lord, but the real test of devotional service is when the hindrances come before our lives. The real test of our devotional service is when our plan is one and Krishna's plan is another. The real test of our devotional service is when we are hoping, we are planning without Krishna in the center. When we do that, we will definitely become deluded. Otherwise, we will become very, very faithful. So, Prabhupada gives the example in his lecture that if one wants to see the sun which has set, can one call the sun out and say, hey sun, come out, I want to see you. Now, sun was up for the whole of the day. Of course, there was a bit of rain. And after the sun went off, now there's no sun anywhere in the sky. We know the sun is somewhere in the sky. Prabhupada asks this very simple question. Can you go out and demand, sun, come out now? Can you do that? Will the sun come out according to what you want? No! When will the sun come out? The sun reserves its right to reveal himself in the morning. And when he reveals himself, he does that in such a way that it is his own prerogative. What must we do if we want to see the sun? What must we do? We just have to wait. Isn't it? Patiently, we must have faith that tomorrow the sun is coming out. And while we are waiting from now till then, we just wait patiently. So Prabhupada said in the same way, we must remember one thing about Krishna. Nayam atma pravachaneena labhyam. Na medaya na sudhi. Na medaya means through whatever knowledge. Na bahuna. Na bahuna means through whatever endeavor. Sudhena. Na evaita vinute tena labhyam. Sanchayva atma vivinute tanumswam. This is a very important verse Prabhupada quoted to make us understand the sublimity of Krishna. What did he say? He said that the Supreme Lord is not attained by expert explanation. You may know all the verses in the world, Prabhu and Mataji. You may have read Bhagavatam from start to end, but it doesn't mean now Krishna will reveal himself to you. He is not attained by vast intelligence. You may have so much, you may be PhDs and LLBs and whatever, but that doesn't mean Krishna will reveal himself to us. In fact, this verse tells us, even if you hear about Krishna, Krishna may not want to reveal himself to you. Only he will give himself to one whom he himself chooses. He reserves the right to manifest his own form when he chooses. When we accept that aspect of Krishna, we will never be frustrated in life. We will never be bewildered in life. And we will never be deluded in life. This point we have to understand. And how to accept this? To accept this means to accept Krishna as the Supreme. Sometimes we think, you know, that we know better than Krishna. I know that if I plan it this way, it is better. But we don't realize this is not better. There was one example in Dwarka. One time Dwarkadish was being served very nicely by his sweeper. Sweeper was sweeping every day Dwarkadish for pounds. So one day, you know, the sweeper was thinking, very nicely, lovingly he thought, you know, innocently, why is it Dwarkadish that you must stand there all the time? It must be very tiring for the Lord to stand there all the time. If the Lord wants, I don't mind standing there for you, so that you can stretch your legs and stretch your arms and all that, you know. Just very innocently was thinking that way. Immediately, Vasudev was very, very nice to him. He manifested himself and said, my dear devotee, thank you for your concern. If you want, we'll do this. We'll do an exchange program. For today, one day, I will leave my lady form and I will come out. You will assume the form of Vasudev and you will stay there. You will have your arms up and you will smile and bless everyone. I will sweep the floor for you. So, Dwarkadish was very kind. Sweeper thought, Lord, you are very kind to me. But tell me how I can serve you. What should I do if I become like that? So Draupadi said, it's very simple. Whatever happens, whoever comes, you just smile at them, you give them blessings. Don't interfere with anything. Don't lodge any protest. Don't say anything, please. So, simple thought. This is very easy. He thought, is this what you do for a living? This is very nice. If every day I can smile and bless everyone, I don't mind becoming Draupadi also. So he thought like that. So he said, okay, Lord, I will do that. So he stood there. Now morning darshan had started. So the first person to walk in that morning darshan was a very, very rich man. He came forward and he came and spoke to the Lord. He said, Lord, today I want to seek your blessings. Why? Because you know, I'm going to start a new business. And I hope that I will be very prosperous. So because I'm going to do this, I want to give some money to you. And because you're taking some money from me, please bless me that I will become very successful in my business. And how much did he put there? He put $1,000 there. In those days, $1,000 was very big. So $1,000 get put there. Or maybe 1 lakh, you know, because we are in India. So 1 lakh was there. And when he put 1 lakh, he walked away. Now as he walked away, what he did not realize was, he had left the 1 lakh rupees, not inside, but outside. So he walked away. So Dwarkadish, or rather the sweeper, he looked and said, hey, why is he leaving it outside? Someone can take it and walk away with it. Then he remembered Krishna's instruction. Don't say anything, don't do anything, just smile and give blessings. So he smiled and he gave blessings. So rich man became happy and walked away. Then what happened? One poor man came inside. So Dwarkadish was standing there, the sweeper, he was blessing. He said, okay, what does this poor man want? So poor man comes up, he closes his eyes, he stands before the Lord and he says, Lord, I am very happy always to take your darshan. Frankly speaking, I don't want anything from you, Lord. I only want to be able to serve you. In fact, I am very happy that you have given me so much poverty that I must remember you in all my difficult times. But Lord, my wife and my children, they are in difficulty. Children are very young, they don't have so much food. What to do? I need some kind of money to help them. Please, Lord, only you are my protector and you will help me. Whatever you want, you do. So he closed his eyes, he prayed very hard. He opened his eyes and what did he see? He saw the 1 lakh rupees. So he thought, this is very nice. Lord, you are so kind. Immediately I asked, immediately you have given. Even though you know I am not unworthy, still you should not have given. But thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Sweeper wanted to protest, hey, that's not your money. This is somebody else's money. But then he remembered, what did Vakali tell me? Keep quiet, don't say anything, smile, continue to bless. So he thought, never mind, leave it there. But he thought, this is not good. The next round, surely if Dwarkadish himself was here, he would have put a stop to that. Isn't it? How can? This is injustice. One person came and put money there, this person has come to take the money away. Not good. Now I'm going to use my own initiative. The next round, I will do that. Then Dwarkadish will know, well, at least you use your head, you know, that's good. So next round, who came? A sailor. Dwarka is a seaport city, you know, and people sail and come back and go and very often. So the sailor was ready to go. He was going on a long journey. So he came and prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm going on a long journey. And I pray that you will grant me nice benediction to always remember you in all my attempts. Let me always please you. Let me try to always be your devotee, O Lord. I only seek your blessings before I start this activity. Just as he was going to go, suddenly the rich man stopped him. And he walked in and looked around and said, who has taken my money? I left the money there. I remember it was not put inside. And now it is not there. Who has taken it? And Dwarkadish was keeping quiet and thinking, now should I tell him that the poor man had taken it? No, I keep quiet first. Let me see what happens. So the man looked around, saw nobody except the sailor. Immediately he caught hold of the sailor. He called some of the guards outside and said, guards, he is the only one here. He must have taken the money and given it. Sailor did not know what had happened. He had just come, he just prayed, and now he was being caught. So he said, what are you doing? I was not the one who did this. Lord, what is happening? What is happening? And then at that point of time, Dwarkadish, the sweeper, was thinking, this is gross injustice. I have to do something about it. And at that point of time, he spoke, and he said, my dear devotees. And at that point, everyone got scared. They thought, my God, today Dwarkadish is speaking to us. He said, he is not the man who has stolen your money. That poor man has stolen your money. You go and find him. He is just a sailor going on a trip. Let him go free. This is great injustice. And then the rich man said, oh Lord, you are very kind. You have shown me the way. Thank you very much. And the sailor said, "Thank you, Lord, for letting me go on my journey." So evening came, and the sleeper was waiting for Dwarkadish to come back. Dwarkadish came back and said, "So how was the day today?" So the sleeper said, "Dwarkadish, you'll be pleased to know that some apparent injustices were actually taken care of by me. Some problems that were really going to be major problems, I took care of it for you. So you don't have to worry, you know." So Dwarkadish said, "What was the problem and what did you take care of?" So he said, "This rich man, poor man, he was a nice man, he put one leg looping for you, that poor man took it away. And then he blamed unnecessarily the thief. So it was all a muddle and the real jumble. So I came into the picture and I sorted it all out. Now they're all very happy. The poor man has gone to jail because he took the one leg looping. The rich man is doing nice because of his business and the sailor is on his journey." So Dwarkadish said, "You are fool number one. I told you that all you had to do was to smile and give your blessing. Why did I tell you that? Because I know better than you what is happening in the heart of all the living entities. You think you know better. You think that all your hopes and your activities were correct. But I'll tell you one thing now. I'll tell you that the rich man gave one leg rupee. You think he's very generous? That one leg rupee represents maybe 0.001% of all his wealth. It was small pocket change for him. And he wants big business from me. Does he really think that his activities will be prospering because of this kind of thinking? He's rascal number one. This poor man, he may not have any money with him, but he's my great devotee. Never has he asked me for anything. And this one time he asked, he did not ask for himself. He asked for the sake of his children. He deserved that money, not this rich man. Instead, he has gone to jail because of your will, and the rich man seems to be prospering." Now, the sleeper was becoming very distressed. He said, "Okay, I made a mistake with the rich man and the poor man, but surely I was right with the sailor. What did the sailor do that was wrong?" And Dwarkadish said, "You are a fool. You cannot see the future, you don't know the past, and you definitely don't know the present. What you don't know is that if this sailor was to go on this long journey, his ship would have been shipwrecked in the storm, and he would lose his life. By catching him and putting him into prison, just for a while, he would have escaped the journey. His life would have been spared, his activities would have been prosperous, and I would have protected him that way, because he is a devotee of mine. Now, because of your thinking that you know better than me, the sailor has gone to his doom, the rich man is prospering, and this poor devotee is in difficulty." This story is very instructive to us. This is the reason why we become bewildered. This is the reason why we become baffled, because we think we know Krishna's plan. When we think that way, we think we are one with Krishna, isn't it? How can we have the cheek to think that we know Krishna's plan? But if we really, really serve Krishna and really take Krishna's protection, then we will never say, "Krishna, I know your plan." But it will be that, "Krishna, whatever plan you want for me, let it be." This is the mood. The most practical example of this verse is given very nicely in the basis of Bhagavatam, in the story of the churning of the milk ocean. In that story, this whole verse can be understood very nicely. The protagonists in that story were the demigods. And the crooks in that story, or the villains, were the asuras. You all know that the demigods or the devas, they always surrender to Krishna. In any difficulty, they are always devotees of the Lord. Even without difficulty, they somehow or another, they take the shelter of Krishna. So what happened was, there came a point of time in their life when the demigods were being harassed by the demons. The demons were led by Mani Maharaj at that time, and they were very powerful. So they were so powerful that the demigods always fought and they lost the battle. So like that, they were losing all the time. And in their losing, they were becoming frustrated. They were not upholding the good virtues. The demons only were actually taking all this up. So the demigods became frustrated, and they began to think, how or what should we do to help? What should we do to help ourselves? So they went to Lord Brahma and they prayed very hard. Brahmaji said, "Let us all go and pray to Lord Vishnu. The Lord only will help us and He will give us the guidance." So, two real devotees, they approached Krishna when they were in difficulty. This way, they were not bewildered. So when they approached Krishna and sang nice prayers, Krishna immediately appeared before them. And He said, that "Don't worry now. I tell you one thing, that whatever happens, what you have to do is this. You will have to churn the ocean of milk with the demons. You declare a truce And then both of you will take Vasuki, this long serpent, uplift Mount Mandara, this great mountain, bring it to the ocean of world, put it there, and then churn the ocean of world with Mount Mandara. From the ocean of world, many wonderful things will come out. But one thing only you need, and that will be the nectar of immortality. When that Amrit comes out from the ocean, drink the Amrit, and you will become very powerful. The moment you become very powerful, then the demigod, or other demon, will not be able to inherit you. So this way, Krishna instructed the demigods what to do. So what did demigods do? They immediately followed Krishna's instruction. They went to meet Bali Maharaj. And Krishna told them one important point. It is 8.6.24. And this is very important for devotees whenever the difficulties of life come. He said, by patience and peace, everything can be attained. When one becomes unnecessarily angry,